And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Mary Goulet out doing her volunteer stuff. Steve Ulscher hanging out with you along with Richie Ote. What's up, baby?
How's it going?
Oh, man, super excited today because we've got an old friend of the show. And actually, I've known Dan now for a number of years. Talking about Dan Miller, who's going to be joining us here. And he's got a hell of an initiative and a hell of a lot of really awesome things going on with his work around 48 Days to the Work You Love. And I actually first became familiar with Dan way back when. You ever listen to the Dave Ramsey Show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I used to listen to the Dave Ramsey Show all the time. And it was a commercial. It was a commercial for Dan's book. And I was like, oh, that is awesome. Because I had written What Is Your What at that point. And at that point, it was called Journey to You. What Is Your What is Journey to You version 2.0. But I had come across his work. And I was like, man, this is a great dude. I love what he's doing. And I love everything about how he's trying to help people. And so on and so forth. Just a lot of really amazing work that he's doing. But rather than kind of going on here, let's bring the man on himself so he can tell you guys exactly what he's up to and share his story. Dan, you there, bud?
I am here. Glad to be here.
Hey, man. How are you doing, brother?
I'm excellent. What a delight to connect with you.
Yeah, man. Really, really good to reconnect with you as well. Appreciate you joining us. So let me ask you this, man, because there is there's a pretty interesting story behind how you got into the work that you're now presently doing. And by the way, how long would you say you've now been actively doing this current work?
Wow, about 27 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And before
before that
you were doing some other things. So just give us a little bit of an understanding of kind of how you reinvented your life and what you were doing before and how you got into this line of work.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've never had a real job. Never had a job where I got a paycheck. You know, grew up on a farm, just a poor farm kid, and just saw opportunities under every rock. Listened to The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale when I was a little kid, and it just put a fire under me. You know, you become what you think about, and that opens the doors to anything you want to do. So I grew up with that entrepreneurial kind of spirit. You know, went through college, you know, enjoyed that. It broadened my horizons a little bit. But I always did entrepreneurial things. And then I had two different businesses, one an auto accessories business, one a health and fitness center, and grew them both too quickly, got spread too thin, some banking things changed. The bank where I had just a handshake arrangement changed ownership 3 times in 2 years. Mm. And all of a sudden, the people who knew Dan Miller, this kid, you know, weren't there anymore. And the big stiffs look at this and said, geez, we got these open lines of credit with this kid, and tightened things up, put me in a pretty untenable position. I sold that health and fitness center at public auction and woke up the next morning about almost $500,000 in debt. Mm. A lot of that to the IRS and other things. So I was recovering from that. And in that period of time, the church that my wife and I were attending asked me to teach a Sunday school class if I would. My background academically was in psychology, if I teach a class on career transitions. I said, sure. So it's just, you know, community service. So I just did that. Well, it was like a vacuum. I mean, that little class grew and people from other churches, other states started coming. We moved it from Sunday morning to Monday night, 2 hours uninterrupted, and it just grew and grew and grew. And people immediately started asking me for materials. Hey, Dan, I got a son-in-law who's been without work for 4 months. You know, I want him to hear what you just talked about. What do you have? I didn't have anything. I never looked at that as something that would lead into, you know, what I did to generate income. Mm-hmm. I'm a sales guy, an entrepreneur. I can land on my feet. But people just kept asking. I finally put together, just under duress, a little 3-ring binder that had my loose notes about how to go through these inevitable transitions. Well, about that time, I saw an opportunity to go to a conference in L.A. Mark Victor Hansen, you know, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mega Book University. And I tapped my buddy. I heard you mention, you know, Dave Ramsey. Yeah, he and I have been friends for years. We were both recovering from disasters. And I said, Dave, let's go to this thing. So we did. We brought our wives. Sharon and Joanne went with us. We went out there. That was in 2002. Listen to this guy talk about, you know, how to sell your own products. Mm-hmm. I came back. I had that little 3-ring binder. I had never talked to a publisher or anything. I wasn't, looking for that at all. Mm-hmm. But about 18 months, I sold over $2 million of that little 3-ring binder. Wow. Dave's radio show was rocking and going. You and a lot of other people heard him talk about it. And we just really kind of blew the lid off that. And it opened the door. Man, this is an opportunity right under my nose. But what I've done, Steve, and I'm almost embarrassed as a business guy to admit it like this, because it was never a matter of me sitting down and really creating a strategic plan for my business. I have been running to stay ahead of what people are asking for. And one of the mantras that served me pretty well is, if three people ask me the same question, I create a product to provide a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been doing that now for these last 26, 27 years. And today people know me as an author, speaker, coach. But again, it kind of evolved around me. And I frankly resisted it at the front end. Man, I can't make any money. You know, author, speaker, coach, those guys don't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it challenged me as an entrepreneur to figure out how to do it in ways that most authors don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you know as well, being an example of that, if we figure out how to do what most authors aren't willing to do, you can find a pretty kind of a nice opportunity in this space. And that's what I've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's an amazing story. And just kind of, it really speaks to the point and kind of begs the question of, and you're a religious man. I mean, you would constitute, if someone said, hey, Dan, you're a religious guy, you'd stand up and say yes, of course, all day long, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of cringe at religion, but I'm certainly spiritual, yes.
Spiritual, okay. All right, well, that's a great way to look at it. Do you believe in a God?
Yes.
Okay. So do you believe that there are gifts that we have been given by a God, if you will, or however you might term that, but do you believe that most people go far too long in life without really tapping into those natural God-given talents?
Totally, 100%. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so common.
And why do you think that is, though?
Well, you know, the status quo is a really powerful pull. People get out of school and, gee, they're hiring down the street. They go to work there. I mean, I worked with a guy just recently, Steve, who works at a bank. Well, he went there because he has a friend at the bank and he had lost his job. And so he thought, well, that's cool. They offered me a temp position. I'll go there for 2 or 3 months until I really figure this out. And then I'll go on. That was 14 years ago.
Jeez.
I mean, the old adage, good is the enemy of the best, is really true. People get trapped. All of a sudden there's mortgage payments, you know, car payments, insurance, mm-hmm. tuition, college student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And they just get trapped in what is okay. That's why most people that I really work with in depth, you know, are 45, 50 years old, but
yeah.
they've had enough life experience to recognize, geez, there's got to be more than this. And so then they start digging a little deeper to peel back the onion to find what's really there.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because your work and just, I have to ask you this. I don't think I've ever asked you this before. How did you get to the number 48? Is there like some symbolism to 48? Like, I don't think I've ever actually got that answer out of you. Well, why? How did it become 48 days to the work that you love?
Man, I love the question. I would love to tell you there was some scientific, you know, 20-year study that I did that. Boy, it was, I mean, I did that on the fly. One day.
Because 47 was taken.
Yeah,
Dan.
I was going to say, he just got done saying, doing
or better,
something
or better,
no one 50,
else
was doing.
50 was taken, and Dan was like, you know what? There's 8-minute abs. I'm doing 6-minute abs. Dan was like, there's 50 days to the work you hate. I'm going to do 48 days to the work you love. So, I mean, just so you're a natural born marketer, I think is the bottom line there, yeah?
Hey, that's exactly how it originated. Because I had the material originally was find the work you love in 30 days.
Mm.
Well, I realized 30 days is such a generic kind of term. It doesn't get your attention. It's like a week, a month, a year, nothing. Bang. This was back when 48 hours was becoming popular as a TV show. I thought, well, there's an odd number. It sounds nice.
Nice.
I'll bet I can get some brand recognition if I use that. Now, I didn't make it hours, but days. And so I just did it as a lark.
Yeah.
It was just a simple marketing thing that I thought I might use for 2 weeks. When I used 48 days to the work you love, it was like somebody threw gasoline on my business.
Mm-hmm.
We're lining up saying, you mean I really can change my life in 48 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can if you create a plan and act on it.
Let me ask you this.
There's nothing scientific behind it. It was totally a marketing ploy. It worked. It stuck. Packages go out of here. Every single one of them has 48 peppermint candies in it.
Oh.
We leveraged that brand like you can't imagine.
No, that's awesome. We've got a couple minutes here before we got to go to break, but I want to ask you this question, man, which is, how do we get people? Because when you're talking about those who are, you know, 45, 50, had 20 plus years, whatever it might be, in the workplace and wake up one morning and go, geez, you know, there's got to be more than just this to me. What I really want to understand is, first and foremost, and well, let's cover this in the next segment here, but what I want you to start thinking about here over the break is let's figure out, how do we get people, first and foremost, at a younger age to tap into what it is that they're truly compelled to do, and as I say, naturally wired to excel at. And, you know, you and I, you know that we have similar outlooks on things, and we have similar work, the work What Is Your What, and in 48 Days. I mean, we've obviously got a lot of the same thinking going on, but I have yet to really crack the code on how we can get people to think about this earlier. Not that the tools aren't there, like through your book or through my book. The tools are there, but they don't think about it. They just kind of dive in, and then, like you said, before they know it, they wake up, and they've got these mouths to feed, and they've got these bills to pay, and they wanted a better house, so they got a better house, and their mortgage is more money, and now they're in this circle, this vicious circle of not being able to break that pattern of being able to get out of what it is that they are now so entrenched in to be able to get to the work that they love. So I'd like to talk about, after the break here, let's talk about, A, how can we get people off on the right foot and get them in earlier to what they should be doing, and if they're in it, how do they make that transition? All right, guys, we're talking to Dan Miller, the one and only Dan Miller of 48 Days to the Work You Love. More with Dan on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Too much to do? Not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 More Hours. That's 866-734-6877.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with Richie Ote. Mary Willet is out doing her volunteer work. What's up, Richie?
Saving the world.
Saving the world. And we've got the one and only Dan Miller joining us. Dan, before the break, we were talking a little bit about just kind of how to, you know, get to the work that you love doing earlier and get out of kind of the work that you're entrenched in. Before we jump into the answers to those questions, if people want to find out more information about you, it's 48days.com, 48days.net. Where's the best place for folks to go?
Yeah, either of those. 48days.com is where we've got a lot of information, just resources that people can use for this process of reinventing themselves, like mm-hmm. you do as well. Mm-hmm. And then 48days.eagles.com is brand new. It's a brand new community that we just launched that I'm really excited about, where people are saying, hey, I'm not going to settle for mediocre, where people link arms, help each other with ideas and resources. That's 48dayseagles.com.
Nice. All right, I'm going to have to check that one out as well. Okay, so let's start with the first question, which is people who are younger. I mean, I think you've got to at least be in high school before you have a decent sense of who you are and what you like doing. Probably more than likely folks who have been to college or have been out in the workplace for a little bit. So let's just maybe even call it late teens or early 20s. How do we get these young folks off on the right foot so that they begin doing the work that they love much earlier so they don't have to try to figure it out later?
Well, the answer is somewhat circular. It really is a catch-22, because the way that you figure out how to do what you're really born to do, what really fits you, where you find that sweet spot that I look for that blends talent, passion, and money. The way you figure that out is by doing things you don't like. Mm. And that's called life experience. Mm-hmm. This isn't something you can just dig deep enough to really understand when you're 18 years old. I mean, everybody at 45 says, geez, if I had only known back then what I know now. But the only way to know what you know now is to have gone through the experiences that helped you learn what you know now.
Yeah.
So I'm a really patient guy when it comes to that. You know, I have parents call me, you know, Dan, I got a son, you know, just graduated from college. He's 22, got a master's degree in political science. He still doesn't know what he wants to do. Will you work with him? I'd say, yeah. Have him call me in 10 years.
Right. So are you going to do a follow-up book 48 years to the work you love? I mean, that might be more appropriate, right?
It really is. It's totally appropriate. I value the experience. And frankly, you know, when you talk about how do we help these college kids, I get a lot of requests to speak at colleges. Ask me how many times.
Just pass those on to me, Dan. I know how busy you are. Just pass them on to me. Help a brother out. We're all good. We'll take care of each other. We're good.
You want to know how many times last year I spoke at colleges?
How many?
Zero.
There we go. All right. So I'll pay you 10%. Is that good? 10%? Cool. We're good.
That'll work. I don't go. I don't have the patience to see those vacant eyes sitting there knowing they have all the answers.
Oh, they need some life experience. Oh, that's great.
Oh, my gosh. That's perfect
because I love helping people who I know can't help themselves. That's perfect for me because then you can just say, hey, I did my part. You didn't do yours. It's on you.
And then my gosh. Well, it's the old, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And I don't find that college kids are ready to be taught. They know everything. Let them get out, kick around a while, bring them back to me. That's why... You know, I often have people who made a career decision at 18 or 20 or whatever, and then I see them at 43 years old, and they have a DDS behind their name or a JD or an MD, and they're saying, geez, I'm living somebody else's dream, not mine.
Yeah.
Help me out of this. And that's my sweet spot. That's where I like to go, where it looks like by virtue of somebody's experience and academic background, they're trapped in what they're doing, but they never are. Mm-hmm. So I love finding those really creative solutions for people who think they went down a path from which there's no escape, but nobody's trapped. In today's environment, my gosh. So I get excited about those midlife career redirections that really put somebody on a more productive path. Now the other thing, and you ask a two-part question. So one is, I think a little life experience is absolutely necessary to help us really figure this out. And I tell, especially guys, I say, hey, do whatever you want. I don't care if you're a greeter at Walmart. There's nothing you can do that I would consider a mistake. If we can sit down when you're 45 years old, take a fresh look at who you are, what you're all about, we can get a clear focus and you can go into the most productive 20 years of your life. That's what usually unfolds. Somebody who figures this out at 21 years old is such an anomaly. That's why we hear about them. But it's very, very rare. But the other thing is that even at 45 or 50 years old, when somebody says, man, this isn't it, they look for external solutions too quickly. Oh, wow. Hey, here's a new form of computer programming. I'll jump into that. Or here's a new online business. Or now we got the FBA program through Amazon. I'll jump in there and do that. They grab an external solution when what they need to do is take a deep breath, look inward.
Yeah, it's a great point.
85% of the process of having the confidence of proper direction in our career business comes from looking inward first. Look at what you already know about yourself. What are your unique skills and abilities now that you've developed? What are your personality skills? How do you relate to other people well? How do you manage? What kind of environments are you most comfortable in? What are those recurring dreams and passions that keep popping up? Man, we can take all of that, the value, the wisdom of looking back and start to see all those recurring patterns. We can get really crystal clear on what it is that makes you tick. Then, and at that point, Steve, I would rather help somebody grow dandelions if that's where those things converge than try to talk them into being a computer programmer because we know there are job opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
I know where that leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. Richie, you had a question?
Yeah, well, it's a kind of combination statement slash question. I was going to ask Dan how much – I have a four-year-old, and one of the things that I do with her is pay attention to what she likes to practice because – I feel like what people like to practice is something they actually really like, as opposed to, you know, just bouncing around to the new easy thing or the fastest thing or whatever. How much of this problem do you think lies in our education system that, I mean, there's people like yourself that help people later in life and almost always at some point in the questions when they're trying to help them is, what did you like to do when you were 5, 6, 7, 8 before everything changed, right?
You're gonna keep a journal for her.
You know?
That would be brilliant.
Oh, I do that. I also sent, I created an email account where I send her emails that I'll give her a little login later to, but whatever. The main point where I was trying to get back,
I
feel like this whole Common Core thing is part of the problem. We're trying to do a service, get everybody the same education, but it's an interesting dilemma. Here, come in, let's make everybody the same. You've graduated, great. Now go find yourself. Mm-hmm. And how much of it just seems like the education system is the slowest of all our systems to change, too.
And, oh, my gosh.
And how do you feel about it? I mean, that's the main question. Like, how much do you feel that plays an influence in it? That later on, you know, because they're learning to be everybody else.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Our academic system, our educational system was set up to create people to work in factories, to train them to stay between the lines, you know, stay in your seat, stand in one place. We trained them to be factory workers, which was appropriate when public education was established. Today, it is so misplaced. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's not the real world. So, yeah, kids come out, they have no marketable skills. I mean, kids come through college and have no marketable skills. I just did a list of 10 of the most well-known companies out there, like Deloitte and Touche and others, 10 companies who no longer require a college degree as part of their application process.
Wow.
Because they don't find any correlation between having a college degree and success. And these are real traditional, staid, conservative companies. Mm-hmm. They can't connect the dots. Oh, yep. My gosh. What you're talking about with your little girl at 4 years old? Mm-hmm. Oh, we can learn so much. Yeah, what is she interested in? What is she drawn to? Mm-hmm. You can start to see things that shape who she is and her uniqueness, then that'll serve her well forever. Mm-hmm.
It's like stem cells, you know? It's like you take the stem cells, you put them away, you bank them for later. That's what you're doing right now. It's like stem cell in terms of what you love kind of thing. We'll have to patent a term on that one there, Dan.
Hey, you mentioned, yes, I am a man of faith. There's a verse in Proverbs 22:6, and a lot of people use, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, not depart from it. So, you know, cram what we know down their throats. We determine what they're going to do in their career and what they're going to do on Sunday morning. That's ridiculous. The verse in the Hebrew in the original translation really means train up a child in the way that he or she is bent. Mm-hmm. Our challenge as parents is not to superimpose some kind of career path or life path. It's to discover how are they uniquely bent, and that can vary dramatically. I just had an event here, and so we had a bunch of people here, and I had my 8-year-old granddaughter in the room. And I called her up to the front of the conference. And I said, okay, Clara, I want you to tell people about this book. She and my wife, her grandma, or Yaya, mm-hmm. she calls her, they just published a book. Morgan James Publishing, they did a book signing 2 weeks ago at Barnes & Noble. Dude. What if it were possible? I said, tell these people why you originated the book. She told the story of how that came about. I said, okay, so now we have the book. She did all the artwork, including the cover. Mm-hmm. It's beautifully done. And I said, okay, son, you're selling these. You've got your own website selling the fire out of these books. You sell it for $10. Is that money just yours to go spend? She says, no. I give $2 to Papa. That's me. I said, why do you do that? That's the cost of the book. All right. So you're left with $8 profit. Yes. All right. I said, in the first batch, I bought 500 books. They're all have your name on them. They're yours to sell. You're selling them like really fast. So when you sell at $8 a piece, you sell all 500, how much money will you have? She says, $4,000. I said, my gosh, you know, there are people that can't imagine getting $4,000. You could buy a used car with that. She mm-hmm. giggles, blah, blah, blah. I told her mom, and her mom knows as well, I said, you realize I am totally ruining your daughter to ever be a candidate for a regular job. She knows too much. Yeah. I have 14 grandkids. Wow. None of them have ever been in a school system.
Wow.
We are teaching those kids to understand life, to understand economic models. They're set.
Yep. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We'll be back after this break with more from Dan Miller of 48 Days to the Work You Love. All right, more on Reinvention Radio and Dan Miller. Rich Ote, Steve Ulsher. Be right back.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulsher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with the one and only Dan Miller today. And like far too many of our interviews, just time just absolutely flies by here. And that's certainly the case today. I mean, Dan, we could certainly talk on this subject for hours and hours. And maybe we'll just do a three-day seminar, you and I. Maybe that'll be in the works there. And we'll get Dave Ramsey as our special guest. What do you think? Yeah?
Make it happen, absolutely.
All right, and my we'll dad lives in Nashville, so we'll make it a family visit as well.
Does he really?
He does, yeah. Cover all Jeez. Of the bases. You actually met my dad, I think, at one of the Internet Profits Live events that we did. But we digress here. So,
wow.
Yeah, so Dan, you've got a bunch of stuff going on. Obviously, 48days.com, 48days.net, then you've got this 48DaysEagles.com that you just launched as well. You want to give us a quick 30-second overview on 48 Days Eagles? Is that the primary initiative for this year?
You know, that's brand new. It's one of the things I'm really excited about. Yeah, I've got opportunities for people to connect at various levels. So we've got 48days.net, you know, which is a free community. People have to be vetted to be in there, but there's no cost to it. And there's about 16,000 people in there. You know, and then we got different ways that people can connect. Then I got a high-level mastermind that is, you know, by invitation only for just a few people. And I wanted something in between. People were asking for more access, more connection with some of the people who are in my kind of center of influence anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I put that together. Yeah, launched it with 25 mentors in there. These are seasoned, successful people who are readily available to people who come into that community. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So it's not just, here's a library of information, you know, that Dan has created. Here is access to people who are high achievers, who are more than willing. I mean, we got attorneys, physicians, people with a lot of different areas of specialization in there. And it's just a fun thing. Yeah. I have to have something new that I'm doing all the time, or I get bored very easily.
Yeah.
So it's an experiment, but you know, in the space that you and I are living, operating in, doing business in, and there's so many opportunities to try new things. So this is something, but I'm really excited. It's just brand new, and I'm excited about how things are developing very, very quickly.
Nice. And you also have a newsletter, and you've got a podcast as well. And last I heard, my invitation to the podcast, I think, was still in the mail somewhere. I thought it was in the mail. Anyway, that's what I was told last. But, you know, hopefully that invitation will arrive shortly.
I would love to have you on, but here's my caveat. You know, I came off of traditional terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. Had been on for 6 years here in 100,000 watt station here in Nashville. And so it was a call in question, and, you know, question, they could ask your questions. Mm-hmm. I'd answer them. Mm-hmm. So I moved directly onto podcasting and I maintained the same format. People ask questions, I answer them. Man, I have my audience so attuned to that, so spoiled. Twice last year, I had very high profile guests on my podcast. Both times I got pushback from my audience. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, they said, when you have a guest on, we'll decide in the first 3 minutes if we're going to listen.
Oh, that's funny.
When you just answer questions, we never know what's coming, and you keep us all the way to the end.
Yeah.
It's just,
maybe again, just let Steve on and let him ask questions.
There you go. I will read you the questions. That's perfect.
You know? All right. We could do that.
There we go. We have found my way onto your program.
Questions I could not possibly dream up myself.
Yeah, no, it's good quality fun. I've taken a listen to it. And yeah, you always got such sage advice, and it's appreciated that you're willing to share that brilliance so freely. You know, it's interesting. When my book, What Is Your What, hit the New York Times bestseller list, there was, you know, a lot of comments and whatnot and reviews on Amazon. And there was a whole to-do around folks having an issue with sort of this whole notion, this concept that you should be able to do something that you really love doing and get paid for it and make a living from it. As a matter of fact, the thread started out with the subject line of who will take out the garbage. And
and
it was a big to do. I mean, they beat me up. I mean, really, they beat me up because it was like, who am I to suggest that people should be able to do something that they're naturally wired to excel at and might enjoy doing that way? Because who will take out the garbage if everybody has this dream job, if you will, and doing something that they really love doing? Because who on earth would love taking out the garbage? And so what do you say to people who have that belief that, look, it's fine for some, but we can't convince, and we certainly can't encourage everyone to find work that they love? What do you tell them?
They're totally delusional, because you know what? There are people who absolutely love taking out the trash. I mean, I went recently to a Nashville Predators hockey game. You know, during the break, man, somebody goes scrambling out there and they scrub down the saliva and split and guts off the plastic backboards. I mean, there are people who would give their right arm to do that. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. That would drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. People want to do that. Mm-hmm. I was on radio out of Chicago just recently. I know you're from Chicago.
Yeah.
And a guy called in and said, here's what I do. He works for the utility company, which in itself you would think, oh, gee, that's not an exciting job. He repairs frozen pipes. I said, oh, my gosh. He said, I am a hero all day long. Yeah. I go to places where people have a problem. I fix it. Everybody loves what I did. I love what I do. Now, can you imagine crawling under houses and buildings in the winter in Chicago repairing pipes? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
He does. But that's the fallacy in that thinking. It's not that everybody would end up doing the same. We're too varied. We're too distinctly different. Mm-hmm. We're all different. And there is not anything you can name where there's not somebody who would really enjoy doing that and doing it with excellence. Mm-hmm. And I got guys that come around here, you know, do my yard work. Man, I don't want to be out there in the heat of summer. These guys, I mean, it shows in the work they do how much they love doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back to daughter for a second and kind of school. I think school influences that too. That job's not cool. That's not high paying enough. That's not whatever. What are the number one videos my daughter loves to watch? And almost every kid that I've ever showed this video to, because I just wondered, and it was kind of talking about this subject with other people, is the trash collector. There's a video on the trash guy, literally. Hey, here's the trash. Here's how I do it. Here's the thing. These kids are obsessed. They love watching this. Yeah. Like, wow, because they can tell that guy loves his job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but here we got school. Again, that's not a cool thing. That's not high paying enough. You know, they're watching all the status. And, you know, kind of the question or the statement Steve and I were talking about before, I remember something my grandpa always told me. Know what enough is, because if you have enough, you can always have more. But if you always need more, you can never have enough.
Oh, wow. That's profound.
Yeah. I'm going to have to listen to the recording on this one, listen to the podcast version of that one. That's that is a good one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let me do this, because unfortunately, we only got a couple minutes left here, Dan. But if somebody wants to like get started right now, and obviously they can pick up the book, 48 Days to the Work You Love. But if somebody wanted to get started right now, what are two or three things that they could do to begin that transition? And by the way, when you talk about the older people from the 45s, 50s, et cetera, who have had that career and want to get into something more profound or something that they really fulfills them, I call that the golden shift. And maybe we'll talk about that sometime. But what are two or three things that people could do like right now to begin that transition?
Well, just be aware that the value of confidence of direction comes from looking inward first. It's not an external game. It doesn't matter who's hiring, what Uncle Harry did, or the guy down the street. Look inward. And the more you understand yourself, the more confidence you can have about being on track. Mm-hmm. And when I work with people, you know, sometimes the process just reveals confirmation that they made some good choices. Well, that has value in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, you know, 48 Days to the Work You Love is readily available anywhere. And it's a very straightforward little process to walk people through to give people that kind of clarity and direction.
Yeah. No, that's super helpful. And I got to tell you, man, having followed your work now for years, I'm consistently amazed at the energy you have and so on. But one thing that I know, and this is the question I like to wrap up with here, is I know that, and this is a Tim Ferriss thing, which I picked up from him, and I love it, but I know that people are always just kind of fighting a battle that no one knows anything about. What's something you're fighting right now, man, that no one knows anything about?
Wow, what an interesting question. You know, we're at the beginning of a year, which is always exciting to me, because it's that new beginnings are just exciting. And I love new beginnings. Mm-hmm. So I create that. But people, I had Dave Ramsey ask me recently. You know, we're friends. We see each other a lot. He asked me if I was thinking about slowing down anytime soon. I said, oh, my gosh. I have so many things that I keep me awake at night because I'm so excited about starting them. And literally, I expect to accomplish more in the next 10 years of my life than I have in my entire life up to this point.
Yeah, and you will.
There's just not enough time.
I know, yeah. Man. All right, Dan Miller, 48 Days of the Work You Love. Take care, my friends. Thanks so much for being on.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com. One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What? Steve Olscher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.